noisome pestilence, he shall cover thee. That's our topic. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And as we have been teaching in the Old Testament, when it's speaking about feathers and wings, it's symbolic of a spiritual covering. That word really can be translated as covering as well as wings. They translated it in the literal, but it really speaking about being under his cover, being under his protection. Amen. And that's where we need to be. And if we're in the right place, it's he that dwelleth in the secret place. There's a condition to this covering. There's a condition to the spiritual breakthrough. It's he that dwelleth in the secret place. So position is important. Position, where you are, is important. The promises of God, most of them are conditional. That means they depend on you fulfilling your part. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Then the rest of the psalm applies to you. If you're not in the secret place, you can't claim all the rest of the blessings. You can't claim the covering, right? It's he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So my question this morning is, where are you living? Where are you dwelling? You want the covering, you want the blessing, but where are you spiritually? You know, we look in the Old Testament and we see examples, Isaac and Jacob. And the Bible goes through a lot of trouble to tell us things that don't seem to be very important. It tells us where they were dwelling. And when you look at the meaning of where they were dwelling, then you start to understand that the secret place is important. Genesis 25:11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. But look where Isaac was dwelling. Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai Roi. And it is really, the meaning of it is either the well of living water or the well of the one that sees me, or the God that sees me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where you're dwelling is important. Where your position is important, because where you're dwelling, it makes it subject to either God's covering or not. So the dwelling place, where you are spiritually, is important to be under God's covering. It says that God blessed Isaac, but why did God bless Isaac? Well, the very next phrase tells us, because he dwelt by the well Lahai Roi. And that means the God that sees me, or the spring of living water. Now, that was named originally by Hagar when she ran away the first time from Abraham and she thought she was going to die. She ended up unknowns to her by this well. And she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, El Roy, or you, God who sees me. You know, sometimes we get into such situations and we wonder, God, do you see me? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you understand the things? But you see, Hagar, in her despair, she didn't realize that she had run to the right place. She was dwelling or staying by the well of living water, by the well of the one who sees me. So when it says, he who dwelleth in the secret place, you got to dwell in the secret place if you want the cover of God. You can't be doing anything you want or dwelling anywhere. Position is important. Where you are is important. That's why the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And they that... That's right. You got to run into that dwelling place. You can't expect to be safe outside the tower. But if you will run into that right place, then you will be covered. So we can be covered, but we have to be in the right place to be covered. Genesis 25:11 tells us that Isaac was blessed because of where he was dwelling. Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahai Roi. Anyone remember what else is important about that well? That well shows up. It's where Isaac met his wife. See, not only was he blessed financially, but he was blessed because he was dwelling at the right place. If you read the story, it's where he's dwelling or he's coming from when he sees his wife. And that well shows up again. It's important to be dwelling by a well of living water. It's important to be dwelling where you can get blessing. You see, this last lesson, I'm not going to go into technical details of all the spirit and the soul, but what I really want to highlight is some things that we are covered when we're at the right place. We are covered, the Bible says, from accusation. Did you know that? Because an accusation can bring guilt. Hath God said? See, the devil will try and take away your faith by pointing to all your failures. By pointing to all your failures and saying, see how you messed up? See how you did this? But the Bible tells us that we're covered from his accusations. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. What does that mean? Separate you. Holy, that means all of you. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, what? Blameless. Not innocent, but blameless. You know why? Because Jesus took the blame. Amen. It's not that we didn't mess up, but he's paid the price. God is so good. Friday morning, I went to court to be at the sentencing for Donnie, and the state had wanted 9 years. 9 years, 4 years, and then 5 years of probation. But you know what? God showed up. Great is his mercy. Great is his grace. And in reviewing the film of the incident, the judge herself says, stop the film. Rewind it. And she saw where the policeman had really, for no reason, grabbed his gun and pointed it at him. And it was after he did that that he got scared. So she said from the bench, I can understand why he drove off, because he stopped when you wanted him to stop. It was after you drew the gun and pointed it at him. And so she said, we're going to just accept what the pre-sentencing, and we're just going to go for probation. Isn't God good? Isn't God, he's a God of mercy and he's a God of grace. I'm expecting when he gets out, Donnie has promised me. I told him, you know, this is your church. God is so great. He will give us second, third, fourth chances. You know why? Because we're covered from accusation. He that dwelleth in the secret place. And the very God of peace sanctify you. That means keep you separate and holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul be and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. I can look back in my life the many times I messed up and how God gave me 1, 2, 3 chances. Revelation 12:10 tells us the final victory. And I said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now. I like saying that word. Now. Let's say it together. Now. Oh, you didn't get it. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. There's coming a time when that accuser, his mouth is shut up, where he can no longer point at anything. For the accuser of our brethren is what? Cast down. Which accused them before our God day and night. There's a day coming when the angel is going to say, now. Now is come salvation. And you know what's going to happen? The Bible says, rejoice, O ye heavens. I want to start rejoicing now, because I'm going to believe by faith that that day is coming. That day is coming. There's coming a day when the accuser of the brethren is going to be cast down. He couldn't find anything to accuse Job of, so he says, you know, well, it's only because you protect him, that's why he's serving you. Just take away the hedge. Just let me add him a little bit. Sometimes God is looking at us and he's saying, hast thou considered, and put your name in there. Just put your name in there. See, why are you serving him? Is it because what he can do for you? I hope not. It's because of who he is. Wasn't that the song we just sang? Because of who he is. Amen. The very breath that I breathe comes from him. Amen. So we are covered from accusation. If we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, it's not because I'm perfect, but my God is perfect. It's not because I'm perfect, but his sacrifice is perfect. It's not because I'm perfect, but his blood covers me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are covered from accusation. You know the other thing we're covered from? We're covered during trouble. We're covered during trouble. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. You know how he comforts us? I taught it Tuesday night. Anyone remember how you get out of Doubting Castle? You have to have a key, and the key is promise. That means the Bible says he has given us great and exceedingly precious promises. Find a scripture. There's thousands of them. Just find a scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You declare that. Your cupboard may be empty. Your bank account may be low, but you start declaring, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He told his disciples, don't worry about how you're going to. Anyone been there? Am I the only one? No, I have proven that God is a supplier. Amen. The Bible says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble. That means God gives us comfort so that we can comfort others. Out of our need, we can help others. Did you know that? We're covered during trouble if you're dwelling in the secret place. Remember now the layout of the tabernacle. You had the outer court. You had the holy place, and you had the most holy place. And I said last week, let's see how much you remember. What was the three pieces of furniture in the holy place? The altar of incense. Okay, so directly ahead of you as you came into the curtain, in front of you was the altar of incense. On your left was, they were placed in a certain order. The candlestick, the menorah. And on your right was the table of the showbread, the bread of his presence. Now, the altar of incense represented what? The prayer. The prayer. So when you look at the tabernacle, which represents the body, the outer court represents the flesh, the holy place represents the soul, the most holy place represents the spirit, body, soul, and spirit. So where was the altar of incense? Where was the prayer to come from? The soul, yes. That's why we have to pray from our heart, our soul. We can't pray, you know, prayers like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's not really praying, is it? It's just repeating. But when we pray from our soul, God hears our prayer. It says in John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Don't believe just because you're a Christian, you are not going to have trouble. Jesus had trouble. We're going to have trouble. But in me, you may have peace. Depends where you're dwelling. If you're not dwelling in him, you're not going to have peace. You're going to have trouble and no peace. But if you're dwelling in the secret place, yes, you will have trouble, but there can become a peace that passes human understanding. The only example I can remember, and I know I've told you this before, is when our house was burning down. It was a Sunday. We were at church. And I got there first. My wife came a little bit after, and she's driving down the road, and the neighbor can see her in the car. And she's smiling. And that is so strange to the neighbor. He comes to me and he says, your wife is smiling. Our house is burning down. He can't understand that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. You can be covered in the time of trouble. It goes on into that scripture, says in the time of trouble, he's going to protect. He's going to cover. You know, the only thing that bothered me is because I thought he'll think we set the fire on purpose. How can she be smiling when the house is burning down? Her car, her brand new car that she had just got, was on fire, burning up. But you know, underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. Sister Regina.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say just a couple of things. I remember some years ago being like in the parking lot of a grocery store, and a woman came up to me and she was like, she said, are you saved? And this is before the Lord sent me to Texas and filled me with the Holy Ghost. But I was like, I said, no, I'm not. I said, but my mama is. And that used to be my two go-to words. I would be like, no, my mama is, though, because I was raised in the church and I grew up knowing the truth. But when I said that, I said, no, my mama is. She said, no, I see a covering over you. I see salvation on you. And I was just kind of nonchalant or passive about it. I'm like, okay, you know, thank you. And I went about my merry little way. But then when the Lord sent me to Texas in 2011, you know, things come back to you. And I remember when we first got to Texas, there was like a bad hailstorm. The twins and I, they were like 8. And the Lord put us, we were in like an organization that housed us. Well, the hailstorm was so bad, I remember coming downstairs and they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to call my mama and get between two walls so she can pray for me. We know that there is a covering, but we have to get our own covering too. We have to teach our kids that, yes, you are under my umbrella, but there's a time you got to have your own covering. It's just like being in the, if they come and get in your bed and they're pulling all the covers, what are you going to say? Go get you your own cover. We need our own individual covering from the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, just speaking on this is just bringing back a lot of memories with that. So,
amen. 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 I'm telling you that if you are in trouble and you're under his covering, amen, God is a very present help. It says God is our refuge. A refuge is a place where you can go and hide. A very present help in trouble. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it seems like we're right down to the last drop. But you see, God just wants to get glory. Amen. He's done that to me so many times. Amen. So many times it seems hopeless. Hopeless. I could tell you so many stories, but I won't right now. But the one that comes to mind is, as I said, house was burning up and my wife was smiling. And then, of course, you know how these TV news people are. They want to get drama. They want to see you crying. So they come up to me as the house is burning down and says, the report, and says, listen, I'm going to write a story, so you want to say anything? I'm going to write it anyway. I said, listen, all things work together for good. Hallelujah. To them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And I told another young lady who had been staying with us, I said, you know, she was crying. I said, listen, you know, God just wants to give us a better house. That's all. A better house. And he did. He did. God is our refuge. When I'm in trouble, that's who I cry to. That's who I run to. A very present help in trouble. And it may seem sometimes that he's silent. You know, there's something I want to teach, and I don't want to kind of tell it now, but I'll kind of go around it. You notice, have you ever truly read the Psalms? Did you know, I went to a concert Friday, and it was this group, and all they did was sang the Psalms. And one of the things he said about the Psalms is, that's the Bible songbook. That's what they used to sing. And the funny thing is, we would look at some of those Psalms if we were going to write, and we wouldn't write what David wrote, because he poured out his soul. He says, look at some of this. He says, where are you, my God? Can't you see I'm in trouble? Now, we would say, well, that's lack of faith. No, he was just being real. Because we're going to feel like that. Didn't Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So just because we feel that way and we're sometimes going to react that way doesn't mean that God has left us. It's the human situation. It's the human condition. Because he says, in this world, you are going to have trouble. You're going to have people do you wrong, people steal money from you, people cheat you. All kinds of things. People take advantage of you. It would tempt you not to help anyone, you know. Because you did something for someone, and but you know, God, you know who is the rewarder? God. I will tell you one story. About 3 weeks ago, we helped a young lady who was kicked out, had some babies on the street. Couldn't find anywhere to put her, so we paid for a hotel room for her for 3 days. She just completely disappeared, never came back, never showed up. You know what? All I will say is that God repaid us. God repaid this church. It wasn't my money, actually. It was the church's money. But I felt this is what the... See, so what you see in here is not really ministry. It's what we do out there is ministry. And it doesn't matter that she didn't come back. It's because we did it as unto the Lord. And God repaid this church double. Double. Let me just tell you, God repaid the church double. Because we are covered in trouble. It's not my church, it's his church. And the Bible says the gates of hell. You cannot destroy God's church. I may fail, you may fail, but God's church is built not upon me, not upon Peter, but it's built upon the rock. And the Bible tells us who the rock is. The Bible says that rock was Christ that followed them. Amen. So we are covered during trouble. And so here is the test of faith, to trust God no matter what. And that's a childlike faith. You can just be smack a little baby and they'll be crying. You know who they're still going to run to? They're going to still run to you. See? So that's what God wants for us, to trust him no matter what. So we're covered during trouble. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. It's so easy in our flesh to start trying to work it out. How am I going to do that? Or the doctors are saying there's no hope. It's so easy to let the flesh start to make you panic. It is. But David here says, therefore we will not fear. You see, David was really honest. You read some of his Psalms and he'll say, Lord, where are you? But a few verses down, he's saying, Lord, nevertheless, I'm still going to trust you. It's still okay. It's okay to be human. Job expressed what he was going through. But in all of this, the Bible said that he did not charge God foolishly. God knows we're human. We're going to cry. We're going to weep. We're going to be sad. But again, it depends where you're dwelling. My hope is in him. Amen. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm going to use a non-spiritual picture to illustrate a spiritual thing here. We're covered from spiritual attack. Amen. We are covered from spiritual attack. That doesn't mean that the attack won't come. It doesn't mean the attack won't come. We may even see it. I mean, when I was growing up, I know there were some people who tried to do some witchcraft and stuff like that against my parents and indirectly against me. And when I was young, I didn't really understand it, so I was afraid until my dad explained the things that I was seeing. I was actually seeing some things. Once I understood what was going on and once it was explained to me, I lost my fear. And guess what? The stuff just stopped. So you will see, it says, it shall come nigh thee. What does Psalms 91 says? It shall come, but it shan't get the victory. It's not going to get the victory. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall. When God says shall, there is no if, buts, doubts, question mark. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man, demon, ghost, spook, whatever you want to say, pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. As long as you're staying in the dwelling place, you're safe. As long as you will stay in the refuge, you're safe. That doesn't mean you won't hear the hail and the storm and the lightning and the thunder, but you are covered. You know, there's all kinds of insurance companies. And I think Chris was the one that, I don't know where he got it from, but you know, they sell term life, whole life, but none of them can sell eternal life. None of them can sell eternal life. That's a policy you can't buy. That's no insurance agent can sell you that one, except the one I know, Jesus Christ. You're covered. You're covered. If you should die, you inherit eternal life. The most they can give you is whatever your policy says. But the insurance coverage I've got, nobody sells that. Allstate, Geico, they can't touch that. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man, let's say it together, no man. Let's say it like we mean it, no man. See, when you stay in the dwelling place, when you make God your refuge, when you put your trust in Him, you may come down to the last cent. You may be like the widow woman where all you've got is the one meal left. But that one meal will just miraculously just keep on going. God has done that for me. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, one time, and I've told you this before, but I want to tell you how covered you are. One time I got a bill from the IRS for $445,000, or just a little bit short of $500,000. And they said, you got 30 days to pay it. But you know what? God is my refuge and strength. A present help. Today I owe the IRS nothing. In fact, I'm sure they owe me. I'm looking for something come January 1st. I'm looking for something from them. I am guaranteed they owe me this year. Amen. We are covered from spiritual attack. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, verse 7. You've heard this and you know this. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That's a weapon of sickness. That's a weapon of financial hardship. That's a weapon of people's mouth. That's a weapon of hatred. That's a weapon of whatever you want to say. It says no weapon. Let's say it together. No weapon. Amen. That's what you got to tell the devil, whatever you're facing. The Bible, the Word of God tells me no weapon, no weapon, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. If you're dwelling in the secret place. Sister Johnny.
The Lord, Pastor. I was just thinking about the accident after I had, and that shows how the insurance people, they comes out and they assess your vehicle, and so they just come out and they just look at it, and they just assess it, and they came up with this price of damage, but then something said to me to take it to have a more looked at estimate, because I kind of felt like it may have been something else wrong with the vehicle. And so I took it to Mako. But it's just so amazing. God showed me, because at the time of the accident, I prayed a prayer for God to cover me, because I saw the accident. I saw it was going to happen, not knowing that it was going to hit me, but he did hit me. And so when I went to Mako, when they looked at the vehicle, the man said, he said, "This is amazing." And I said, "Why?" He said, "This vehicle should be damaged way more than what it is." The insurance company estimated it at $6,000. But when Mako looked at it, you know, the estimate, he was like, "Do you know that the frame been moved?" He said that the impact of the car hit the car so hard until the frame had been moved. And he said, "We're going to have to pull the frame back over to line it back up." But he said, "What is so amazing is that you don't even have no body damage." He said, "I don't even have no body damage." And I was like, "Well, what are you saying?" And he said, "This is so amazing." He said, "All we have to do is just order the parts." So he said, "All you need is a bumper and a light." He said, "But the damage was estimated at $6,000, but all you need is a bumper and a light. You don't even need no paint job." I'm like, "This is amazing, Lord. I just want to thank God."
See how God works something that was to destroy you to your favor. Brother Jeremy.
Yeah, you referenced Psalms 91. Some years ago, I was on fasting. I was reading Psalms 91. The Lord spoke to me. In that section which says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Well, the Lord spoke to me, said, "Most of my children just visit me, they don't dwell with me." And I think the thing is that most of us, that's what we really need to do. We need to learn how to dwell with the Lord.
Amen. That's a very good point. Don't just come visit like on a Sunday. We should be meditating. David said, "On thy word I meditate day and night." That's how you have victory, because Satan will just take our mind. As soon as we leave here, all kinds of stuff will pour in. All kinds of situations will take our mind. But the Bible says, "They that have their mind stayed upon the Lord, he will keep them in what? Perfect peace." And that's the key. If you start looking at your situation, that will take you down. You will start to sink. As soon as Peter took his eyes off Jesus, that's what happened. Up to then, he was walking on water. He was doing the impossible. But the moment he started to look and say, "You know, this is impossible. Look at all this wind and stuff." That's when he started to sink. And that's why we got to keep our focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. As long as he was looking at Jesus and not looking at all the other stuff. If that was your dwelling place, you can walk on water. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt contend." This is the heritage. This is my inheritance. If you are born again, if you've been filled with the Spirit, if you've been baptized, this is your heritage. That's your right. That's what you are owed. That's what you can claim. That's what you can have. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord?
Amen.
And here's the other part. The righteousness is not of me. It says, "The righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." He is giving us, imputing righteousness to us. I'm covered by his glory, his love, his grace. Amen. I'm going too far ahead. Let's go on. So the other thing we're covered from is fear. We're covered from fear. This psalm, Psalms 121, is a psalm that they would sing when they were walking, when the priests were walking up to the temple. It's one of the psalms that they call a song of ascents. So they're walking up to the temple, up to the mountain. "I lift up my eyes unto the mountains. Where does my help come from?" Do you know where your true help comes from? "My help comes from the Lord." My help doesn't come from the government, doesn't come from my doctor. Now, God can use them. God can use them. But my help comes from my maker, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. I know the Lord watches. I'm thinking about the times when he has delivered me out of what looks like certain death. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at night. That means your covering. I told you, your covering. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you, your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. But again, it's he who's dwelling in the secret place. We are covered from fear. We can release fear because he's looking after me. He is looking after me. He is my strength and my refuge. I'm going to hurry. We are covered even when we feel weak. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12. I chose that picture because you see all that burned wood. And yet even in the burned wood, you got the little plant of green. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient. Paul had been praying for something one time, two times, three times. It hadn't happened yet. Whatever it was, it had not come to pass. And God was saying, listen, my grace, my love, my unmerited favor is sufficient. Yes, I'm going to let this stay there for a little while. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. You know, sometimes the only time we pray is when we're in trouble. As someone said, we use God as a fire escape. Now it's okay, that's why they make fire escapes. But it'd be good if we were in relationship with God when the house wasn't on fire. So, but even in our weakness, in our failings, he said his power is made perfect. This scripture is very important to me because it was the scripture I was reading in 2004 when I had my little, I don't know what you want to call it, conversation with God, when God kind of took me on a Damascus Road experience. I was reading this scripture. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Nothing to do with you or me, but him. Where our weaknesses are covered. Did you understand what I'm saying? Your failings are covered. Your mistakes can be covered. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Now, that makes no sense, does it, from a human point of view? Paul was saying, listen, I realize now that in my weakness, that's where that gives an opportunity for God to show up. If I had no need, what use would I have for God? But in my weakness, in my failings, that's when God comes in. That's where he shows up. So he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power, not my power, Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in insults, in hardships, in persecution. Ooh, can you delight in those things? Ooh, that's hard. In difficulties. Anyone had some difficulties this week? Paul was saying, listen, you know what's happening? God is making room for his power to be manifest in your life. Even though you don't see it or realize it, that's what's happening. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Only the logic of God, only the intuition of God could make someone write that statement. Because to the human mind, makes no sense. But through God, we are made strong. Not in our own self, but in our weakness. That enables God to come. It's like a little baby. And you want to pick them up and they're fighting you. Aren't you so much more happy when they just go like this? Doesn't that bring a smile to your face? When the little baby just goes like this and you just pick them up. That's all God is waiting to do. We're trying to fight to stand up and to do our own thing. And he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Jesus. That's all he's trying. We're fighting him. Thank you, Jesus. So we're covered. Thank you, even in our weaknesses. I'm so grateful for that covering. I'm so grateful for that covering. For when, even when I'm weakest, even when I've messed up, even when I have failed God, even when I've had a lack of faith, He's covered. He's still my son. I'm trying to hurry. We're covered from a loss of faith. Now, ooh. Isn't that what happened to Peter? Jesus said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And that kind of sifting, I know the picture shows a flour sift, but it wasn't really that kind of sifting. What they did was they threw the harvested wheat up in the air, and the wind would separate the chaff from the grain, and that's how they used to harvest the grain. And he used that illustration of how Satan will bring a wind into your life. Maybe some family issue, some sickness, some financial hardship, some disappointment, some discouragement, to just try and take away your faith, blow you away. And I used to think, well, Jesus, why don't you just stop him? Just stop the wind. Stop all of that. But that's not what Jesus said. All he said was, I pray that your faith. You see, in this life, we are going to have winds. But if you're anchored, if your faith, he said, I pray that your faith fail not. And no matter what happens, we have to have that absolute trust that God is good, even though it doesn't make sense what happened to us, even though we've been praying it hasn't happened yet, because he still has a plan. And he showed me that now so many times. I told the story over and over again about how God delivered me in the mortgage situation. The longer it went, actually, the more blessed I was. But I couldn't understand. It made no sense. The longer... He took to actually answer, the greater the miracle was. When he did answer, wasn't that the case with Lazarus? If he had come and healed Lazarus of pneumonia, we probably would never heard his name. But after he'd been in the grave 3 days, now that's something else. In fact, Jesus deliberately stayed away. He deliberately stayed away when he was first. He said, and he waited till he died. Now that seems harsh, but you see, he knew what he was going to do. God can resurrect a totally dead, hopeless situation, and he can bring it back to life. When Martha saw him, she said, "Do you know that I am the resurrection and the life?" She said, "Yes, I know that on the last day." He said, "Listen, all you have to do is believe that I am the resurrection and the life." Do we believe that today? Amen. Whatever you're going through, tell Satan, he is the resurrection and the life. Whatever God says, that's going to happen. When he says, "Let there be," the only answer is, and it was so. So we are covered even when in our weakness we lose faith, because he has prayed for us. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away." Outwardly our outer man is perishing. We're going through some things. "Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." If you stay in the secret place, if you're reading your Bible, if you're listening to some words that will build faith, you're being renewed. Now if you don't feed your soul, if you go for a week without praying, without reading your Bible, without hearing some encouragement, yes, you're going to get weak. You got to feed your soul. Being renewed day by day. Verse 17, "For our light and momentary troubles," he puts it, "are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them." We can't see how that's working. But this is what the scripture says. So we fix our eyes. Remember what I said? Keep your eyes on Jesus. On what is not seen. Don't look at your circumstance. That will depress you. But look on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you can, through faith, look at Jesus and say, "Lord, I know you got this. I know you got this. I know you got this. I know you got this." That's what he's saying. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. See, because faith is what? The substance of things, the evidence of things. See, you can't see it. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. You can't see it, but you can see the effects of it. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. Trying to hurry here. We're covered from loss of faith even. What a great insurance policy. You ever read your insurance policy? It's got all of these things. And all it is get-out clauses. It's get-out clauses for them. Like, well, yes, you're covered, but if the wind was blowing from the south on a Wednesday, then you're not covered. You know, they got these pages of excuses. But God's plan is just promises. I promise I shall never leave you nor forsake you. I promise that no man can pluck you out of my hand. Amen. I promise that to bless you and deliver you. Amen. See, his insurance policy covers us in so many ways. Covers us in so many ways. As soon as you make a claim, they want to try and figure out a way to not pay you. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Sister Brownie.
I just wanted to say, when Sister was talking about her car, that he not only covers you, but he covers the things that belong to you. And I can remember when I got the new car, the 2008, and I parked it outside. And when I came out, the window was smashed because they could see my Bible, which looked like a purse on the seat. Somebody had tried to get in the car to take my Bible. And it looked like they had hit that window so many times until they just threw the brick down. The brick broke,
but the glass didn't.
And when I went to get it repaired, they said, I don't know how this glass didn't break. I don't know why it didn't break. The frame itself was bent, but they could not get inside my vehicle. I said, the Lord will cover the things that belong to you as well as you. Yeah. In our house fire, we had a house fire and everything burnt to the ground. But you know what was kept safe? Our wedding pictures, things that we couldn't replace. He had covered those and kept them all safe. So God will cover and protect the things that belong to you as well.
I guess I'm biased, but that's a praying woman, and don't mess with her stuff. No, that was quite an amazing, she brings that back. We found the brick that they used right by the car, and it was broken in two. It was broken in two, and the glass actually shattered but didn't fall apart. And it's obvious that they threw that brick as hard as they could, maybe more than once. The brick was smashed in two, but the glass was still there. See, you're covered. Amen. We're covered. Most of all, we're covered by his grace. Cast all your cares, it says in the King James. In this NIV, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How do we do that? How do we cast our cares on him? Our anxiety. Yes? Yes. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know how lions and all those hunting cats go? You know who they attack first? The weakest. They look for the ones who are hanging back, the ones who are not in the herd. That's why if you were smart, you'd be in the center of the herd. You'd be at church every time. You'd be in the crowd worshiping and letting that lion know that, hey, he doesn't have a chance with you. That's why some of those animals, you see them leaping. As they see the lion, they start to leap. The lion knows, you know what? I'm not even going to waste my time. I'm not going to catch that one. You know, they deliberately leap in the air to show, you know, I'm fit. I'm ready to run. You aren't going to catch me. The Bible says, cast our cares, our anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of a sober mind. Just because don't think that the devil doesn't want to get you. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. While we're on this planet, no one is guaranteed a red carpet and a rose garden. In this life, you will have troubles. But if you are in the secret place, you're covered. You're covered. And the God of all grace, that means unmerited, undeserved, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ. Now, here's the part. What does it say? After you have suffered. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. Job got back double everything the devil took. Now people will say, well, he only got back half his children. You know why? Because the other half he was going to see. He was going to see them again. So God didn't give him 20 children. He only gave him 10. Because the other 10 he was going to see. He was going to see. So in the end, Job lost actually zero. Zero. In fact, he got back double. The Bible says that he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting in God and believing in the insurance policy that Jesus wrote. He signed it with his own blood. The Bible said he couldn't find anything else to swear by. So he swore by himself. By two immutable things, that it is impossible. Say impossible. For God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. Impossible. So when he says he loves you and calls you his beloved, it's impossible. Say, no matter what you say, I am his child. Yes, I've messed up, but I'm still covered. I'm still under the terms of the policy. I'm still under the terms of the policy. It says here, I'm still covered in my weakness. In my weakness, I'm still covered. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Last one I'm going to do because I'm running out of time. We're covered lastly by his love, which is the greatest. The Bible says there's faith, hope, and charity or love, and the greatest of these is what? Love. It's because of his love. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You're not dwelling in the right place. If you got a lot of anger and hatred, you're not quite there. You need to move over a little bit. Let that stuff go. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God. Because as we've said so many times, love is not just words. Love is an action. Love is me asking my wife at 2 a.m., would you get me some water? Or she doing the same. And if it was for me, I wouldn't move. Even though I want it, I wouldn't get up. But because she asked me, I will get up. God so loved us that he did more than just get water. He came himself and gave himself a sacrifice. In this was manifested or made plain, or we can see the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. See, God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice your only son, whom thou lovest. I want you to go and sacrifice him to me on Mount Moriah. Can you imagine that? Serving God, God will test you to see if he can use you. And it'll be a test, of course. He'll really see how much you trust him. That must have taken, obviously, because Abraham is called the father of faith. Yes, Lord, I'm going to take my son, who I wanted all these many years, I'm going to take him and I'm going to kill him because you said so. Amen. Imagine how much faith that took. But you see, Abraham believed in the resurrection because God had also told him that through your seed, Abraham, will all the nations of the earth be blessed. So I figure Abraham worked it out this way. You know what? Even if I kill him, God is going to have to bring him back to life. Because God can't lie, and God told me that through my seed will all the nations be blessed. As he was about to do it, the voice said, Abraham, don't harm the child. For now I know. See, you may be going through a now I know moment with God. You may be going through a now I know. God wants to give you something, but he wants to test you first. He wants to see if you are meaning this thing, because God has given us free will. He doesn't control us. The only way God is going to know you and your character is to put you through a test. He wants to see what you're made of. God said, now I know, Abraham, that you're going to train your children. You're going to teach them. I know I can use you. I know I can trust you, because you have not withheld your only son. So 2,000 years later, God did the same thing. He did not withhold his only son. If you could stand with me. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. That means the mercy seat, the covering, the covering. See, the great thing is God is not looking at me and my mess and my failings. He's looking at the covering, because he sent his son to be the covering, the propitiation.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
When you look at the construction of the tabernacle, you will see that the innermost covering was fine linen embroidered. There were four coverings. The next covering, which you couldn't see, represented the sacrifice. It was the goat here. The third covering was ram's skin. But it wasn't just ram's skin. It was ram's skin dyed red. We're covered. We're covered. By a policy that there is no insurance company can sell. And as we close this month's theme on the covering, I want you to be encouraged. Because the Bible says he is the lifter up of my head. Whence cometh my help? Psalms 121. You know, we should do a study just on the Psalms, because I've started to realize how powerful they are. And the Bible says about David that he was a man after what? God's own heart. That didn't mean he was perfect. He was far from perfect. He let his emotions come. He says, God, you are far from me. He admitted, my foot almost slipped. He was human. But when he was confronted, he also repented. Create in me a clean heart, Psalms 51, and renew a right spirit within me. Then I will be able to teach transgressors. Today, we're under attack more than ever. Ever. I just know it as a church, but I know what the Lord also wants me to tell you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust me. Trust me. I've got you covered. I've got you covered. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today for your word, your anointing. Lord, let it find good soil. Father, help us to reach out by faith.